Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
When we talk about where the power is in our world, we often look to the hubs of military and economic might. Yet, one of the most powerful things on earth has nothing to do with governments, armies, or stock exchanges. It's a great story, well told. Today we discover a man who tells great stories, rooted in his faith, for a living. And he does it through music, the written word, and a thriving online community. We head back on the road with Andrew Peterson, the singer-songwriter known for the rich lyrics of songs like Dancing in the Minefields and You'll Find Your Way. He's also an author of books like The Wingfeather Saga and the creator of a thriving online creative community called The Rabbit Room. His newest album released just this week, it's called The Burning Edge of Dawn, and it is available everywhere. And so our warmest of welcomes to you, Andrew. Thanks for being with us today on the road, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. So tell us first, just how are things in the Peterson house, sir, and how are you holding up in what is, I know, a pretty epic week for you?
Yeah, it's a crazy week. I'm doing okay. I've been lots of prayer, honestly, and I'm not just saying that flippantly. Like, several times over the last few days, I've just been, like, in my car by myself talking out loud, saying, God, I need you to help my family through this season. Is just, you know, sometimes it like the life of a musician, there's a lot of hurry up and wait stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what, like, we're just in the season where everything hits at the exact same time. Like, we have this conference called Hutchmoot that we do with the Rabbit Room that's this weekend, but we decided, hey, let's do the album release that same weekend. That's kind of a fun thing. It seemed like a good idea 6 months ago. Now I'm wondering how wise that was. But yeah, just lots of book events and all that kind of stuff. So it's all good stuff. It's just all piled on top of itself. And so kind of like having a lot of relatives in your house at once. You're glad to see all of them, but you're like, I just want to go be by myself. Right. But yes, we're doing good. Thanks for asking.
Well, it's our pleasure. And we're honored that you made some time for us with the album release and the Hutchmoot. And I understand that when we talk about the record, the making of this album was a little bit of a departure for you in that from the sounds of it, you wrote most of these songs right there in the studio recording process, as opposed to having them in your back pocket coming in, so to speak. Is that a fair analysis?
Yeah, that's exactly how it was. I had one song when we started the record, and I was pretty creatively spent from having finished, the Christmas tour the year before and finished the fourth book in the Wingfeather Saga before that. So I just didn't have, you know, usually there's a season of life where you go, I'm now going to start working on songs for the new album. And it's, in my mind, it's kind of a season where you crank up this imaginary satellite dish on top of your head.
Okay.
And you start just paying attention. Like when it's time to start writing for an album, I usually just like, you know, a little compartment in my brain opens up and up goes the satellite dish and I start looking around for song ideas and trying to pay maybe a little closer attention to my life or what God might be teaching me, whatever. And so it's this kind of slow process of piecing together, a body of songs before we ever get into the studio. And this time we had the studio dates on the calendar and I just did not have the time, the luxury of planning it ahead of time. So I went into the studio just with all kinds of fear, like sitting there, and I talked to my producer Dave and I played him the one song that I had, and he was like, what else you got? And I said, well, nothing really, what do you have? And he was like, well, nothing really, what do you want to do today? And I was like, I have no idea how to do this. And so it's just, to me, a little bit of a miracle that we ended up finding 10 songs, and of those 10 songs, you know, it was interesting. It's more like I'm looking, hindsight is telling me what the Lord wanted to tell me, as opposed to me piecing that together ahead of time and then saying, here's what God's been saying. This time it's, well, I wrote these songs in a frenzy, and once the record was finished, I looked back and realized, he was with me the whole time.
Understood. That's the voice of Andrew Peterson here on the road. The singer-songwriter just released his newest record. It's called The Burning Edge of Dawn this week. Andrew, also an author and a creator of the online community, therabbitroom.com, and I want to ask you more about both of those parts of your fascinating biography in just a few moments, but want to let you know as well, if you're listening in today, we've got 5 CDs to give away of that new record, The Burning Edge of Dawn, and you can sign up for that drawing when you visit myfaithradio.com and just look for the On the Road program page in that form right there. Well, when you talk about the lessons learned from the songs, Andrew, the theme of joy really jumps out when you listen to the songs, and you talk about this being the product of where you're at in life right now. So why is this such a joyful season for you, sir, and how is that reflected in the album, would you say?
That's a good question. It's funny. It's ironic to me that the album sounds as joyful as it does because it was written in a really, really, really dreary, hopeless season. It's funny. I don't know for sure, but I think that I was dealing with some kind of depression over the last year or two where I was, some of your listeners may resonate with this feeling of just kind of crying without knowing why you're crying. And
sure.
A weight of soul that you don't really understand, you know? It's a pretty scary place to be when you feel this overwhelming sadness, but you can't put your finger on why. And so it was in the middle of that. I was kind of going through a midlife kind of transition thing. Last year I turned 40. I celebrated my 20th anniversary with my wife. I finished the Winged Feather Saga, which was a 10-year process. My contract was up with my record label, so I had to decide whether or not I was going to sign with them and continue making albums with them. And then, the most significantly, my band, the two guys that I toured with for about a decade, we just reached this point where they were so busy with their own careers that we just couldn't keep doing it. So we had to kind of make a break where I was suddenly on the road. Nothing was familiar. Like, my musicians I was traveling with weren't my old friends. I just was in this weird place where I felt like a lot of things were ending.
Wow.
But I couldn't see the beginning of anything yet. And so that was compounded by the fact that in February when we started this record, I don't know what it's like where you are, but February in Nashville is a really depressing season. I know a lot of you guys are like in the upper Midwest.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, winter, really. But like in Nashville, the winter lasts maybe not quite as long, but we don't have any snow to make it beautiful. We don't have any, like, it's like a 6-month mud season is what it feels. Maybe not 6 months, but you know, the mud season where everything is gooey and it doesn't stop raining. And so it was in that literal, dark season of the year that I was also in a figurative dark season in my life that I walked into the studio to record a bunch of songs about whatever God was teaching me. And here's the cool thing is that I was able to walk into the depression and into this kind of overwhelming sadness and I don't know, all the stuff that I was feeling in my heart. But then when we recorded the songs and listened back, I couldn't stop thinking of how bright the edges of the songs were. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of what led me to the album title, is that it's like, it's not daylight yet. The sun has not broken the horizon, but you can see the light coming, you know? So I kind of feels like after a long night, finally realizing, oh my goodness, there's light in the east. We're going to make it out alive. It's kind of the sigh of relief that, to me, describes this song on this record.
Man, talk about redemptive. That's great. Love hearing that story. Andrew Peterson with us here on the road. Now, if you permit me, sir, I would like to rewind the story just several years. Is that something that I can do? Are you prepared emotionally for that?
Sure, yeah.
Your biography speaks of a childhood that started in Illinois farm country and migrated down to the sunshine of Florida. So what was it like growing up as a pastor's kid in those environments? And were there features, do you think, of that youth that perhaps sparked this sort of endless creativity that you display today?
Well, I don't know. It for sure shaped a lot of who I am. Most of the time when I do a concert, if I say I'm a preacher's kid, I'll hear a smattering of like, woo, from the audience. You know, it's hard to not identify, self-identify as a pastor. Like, you know, I remember in fifth and sixth grade being a little bit, to my shame now, being a little embarrassed that my dad was a preacher.
Sure.
Self-conscious almost, you know, because I didn't want my friends to think I was a goody-two-shoes or that I was, you know, pious or whatever. So that kind of makes you act out the other direction. There's never a time in my life when I think of myself as a little, like my childhood as being a little bit different, maybe a lot different from my friend's childhood because my dad was the preacher in the small town, you know? And so I think part of it is that I grew up in a family that valued scripture. I grew up in a family that valued reading in general, that like, you know, books lined to the walls of my house. My dad's office was piled with books. I was always intrigued by that. I love the smell of old books. But it took me a long time, to realize what a tremendous gift that my parents had given me. So for example, some people have asked me about the fact that scripture shows up in my songs pretty often.
It does.
And that's not because I'm a theologian. It's not because I'm some Bible nerd, you know? Like, I'm kind of not as good at reading my Bible as I wish I was. Like, there's real effort for me. I'll go through seasons where I'm really diligent, and I'll get up in the morning, and I'll read, work my way through something. But then also long seasons where I just can't bear to open my Bible because it feels so boring. You know? And so I say all that to say that, like, I'm not that guy that just sits for hours and pores over scripture. So I realize whenever I sit down to do the lyric sheets for a new album, for the liner notes, what I always do is I write down the lyrics, and then I kind of cross-reference it with the scriptures that show up or that are alluded to in the songs. And there's always, you know, five or six scriptures, and none of them are on purpose. And it's not because I'm so wise and scripturally, you know, deep. It's because my mom and dad made me read my Bible when I was a kid. It's because I grew up going to Sunday school. I grew up doing church camp, and I had to do memory verses, and I had to do sword drills. You remember sword drills, you know, where
they call out a book,
chapter, verse, and you're the first person to find it. So it's kind of like I grew up in this culture where I was eating my vegetables, so to speak.
Sure.
And my parents just really believed that this stuff, you may think it's boring now, but this is going to inhabit you, right?
Wow.
These words are going to live inside of you. And so there's this great passage in Deuteronomy, I think, where God is kind of giving his command to his people, and he says, impress the words of the Lord on your children, write them down, talk about them when you lie down and when you get up, right? I think that I will never stop reaping the benefits of the fact that I grew up in a family where my parents had me do that.
That is fantastic. What a great word. Andrew Peterson is joining us. The singer-songwriter has just released his newest record called The Burning Edge of Dawn this week. He's also an author and the creator of the online community, therabbitroom.com. We have 5 copies of Andrew's newest CD to give away. You can sign up at myfaithradio.com when you just look for the On the Road program page. You can fill out the form right there for a chance to win. Well, Andrew, you had this pretty remarkable series of events that sort of brought you to your being signed by a national label, and I believe that started with Derek Webb, who at the time, of course, was with Cademan's Call, discovering your website. Can you take us through what happened and how that led to where you are today?
Well, we're going way back. I moved to Nashville, I guess it was like 1997, the summer of 1997, and immediately got a job at the Olive Garden as a waiter.
Yes!
And was was maybe the worst waiter in the history of the Olive Garden. I was so bad, I just couldn't keep my head in the game. And to make matters worse, I would always spend what little tips I got on, you could buy appetizers for half off, and I would buy appetizers and bring them home to my wife. So I was in a season where I had, during college in Florida was when I started playing music professionally, doing concerts and selling my independent record. And so by the time I graduated college, I thought, okay, I've gotten enough affirmation from spiritual mentors that this is maybe a calling that I have. So I moved to Nashville thinking I'll just do the same thing only on a national level, not just Florida. And so, couldn't get a single show, like just struggled and struggled, could not find a show that wasn't in Florida. So my wife and I kept driving to Florida to do concerts, and I just couldn't crack the nut. I couldn't figure out how to, like, get into churches or whatever in the rest of the country. And then one night late, I came home from the Olive Garden really discouraged and signed into my little black and white laptop computer using my dial-up modem, AOL, you know, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And websites were so clunky back then, but the Cadence Call, I just heard of Cadence Call because they had done a Rich Mullins cover, and I was a huge Rich Mullins fan. And I signed into their website, and I posted a message and said, thank you so much for your great music. You know, I love Rich Mullins, and it's cool to hear his influence on what you do. By the way, I'm a songwriter. Here's a link to my website. And my website domain name was like www.%912! It was like 26 characters long that I actually memorized so that I could tell people what my website was.
Back of course.
And so anyway, that night I kind of posted this message, and then one of the guys in Cadence posted a link back and said, hey, everybody, go read this guy's lyric. I really like him. And I just sat there with goosebumps, you know, in my Olive Garden uniform thinking, I couldn't believe that they'd gone through and read the lyrics. And then I got this wave of kindness from all the Cadence Call fans on the message board saying, oh, we love these lyrics. And it was just really, really encouraging. And so about 2 weeks later, I met the guys in the band and said, can I open for you? And they said, yes. Changed my whole life.
Wow. That is an amazing story. So great to hear the redemptive and hopeful nature of that. You know, it comes when you're at your most discouraged, and right then is when God works. That's tremendous to hear. We're here with Andrew Peterson, the singer-songwriter on the road for Faith Radio, and I'm Ryan Thomas. It may be that you've come to hear this interview and you know Andrew as an author even more so than as a musician. So I want to be sure to ask you about this because this is pretty cool. Chicken and egg style, what came first for you, Andrew? Was it crafting music or crafting stories through the written word that's sort of your first language of creative expression?
Well, I think the books were the first language that spoke to me. It was book first and then music kind of later in high school is when I started playing guitar and really being, you know, experiencing the thrill of what a good song can do. Long before that, it was stories. It was like, I just constantly reading books, not great books, but just reading and reading and reading. Like I was always looking for some kind of emotional response, like some things, some movies, you know, whether it was Goonies or Indiana Jones or Star Wars, whatever it may have been,
yeah.
Or the books that I was reading about dragons and, you know, bards and taverns and dwarves, that kind of thing, or Pink Floyd records or Skinner, whatever. There was just some songs or stories or movies would give me this really finely tuned quickening in my, like, kind of like butterflies in my stomach. And there was that feeling that I was always chasing. And it was never enough for me to just experience it. I also was like, how do you do that? How do you make it? Like, I wanted to kind of pop the hood on the car and figure out, why did this song make me feel the way that I felt? And so that led to me kind of like learning to play. And in high school, you know, girls are way more interested in guitar players than comic book authors or whatever. So I abandoned the book thing. And then music kind of carried me, you know, to Nashville. And then when my little boys were 4 or 5 years old, I read the Chronicles of Narnia to them. I read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and just wept and remembered how much I loved these kinds of stories when I was a kid and was like, yeah. I've always wanted to write a book. I've talked about it for my whole life. And finally, I think maybe God was teaching me discipline. You know, like it's, songwriting is a discipline for sure, but it's not this long marathon like writing a book, right? And so writing a bunch of songs and making albums, which take months and months to write, and the patience that you learn to kind of like, you cultivate this sense of, okay, art takes time, art takes work. And I think my songwriting readied me for the long haul that was going to, songwriting was like doing a bunch of 3-mile jogs that was getting me ready for the marathon of writing a book. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
So anyway, so yeah, it was like music came first, but I really think that it informed, it helped me to kind of clarify how words work and how, like reading like Madeline L'Engle's Walking on Water is this fantastic book about what it means to be an art Christian who is also an artist or an author. And so I had like done that kind of groundwork without knowing that I was doing that before I sat down and started the Winged Feather Saga, and just immediately was like, this is fun. Like, really loved it. So much so that, like, I can't wait till this tour is over so that I can start writing the next book, you know? So I'm overwhelmingly pleased that God has seen fit to allow me to kind of scratch both itches, you know?
Yes, yes, sir.
The thing and the music thing. So anyway, but to me, they're all, it's all in the same wheelhouse. It's all the same idea that you wade through pain in order to get to redemption, and you go through a kind of despair in order to appreciate hope. You know, that's what Tolkien was doing with his stories. You know, is like telling a story paints a picture of what's going on in all of our hearts all of the time.
Wow.
Whether it's a song or a big epic fantasy novel, you're still dealing with the same core problem of our brokenness finding some kind of resolution in God's grace.
Wow, that's well said. That's well said. It's like you put words together for a living or something.
Well, I'm not any good at anything else. I can tell you that.
The staff of the Olive Garden, they could confirm that in Nashville.
Yes, absolutely.
Andrew Peterson is with us here on the road, the singer-songwriter. He's just released his newest record called The Burning Edge of Dawn this week, and we do have 5 CDs to give away of The Burning Edge of Dawn. You can sign up at myfaithradio.com when you just look for the On the Road show page. People who love your music, when they talk about it, they speak to this depth, and it was so interesting to hear what you had to say earlier, but they talk about this depth of real meaning that you can find in your songs, and that your lyrics and your stylings are just kind of plain fresh. So I wonder, when you sit down to write a song, what's the goal that you have in mind, and what are you hoping to achieve, would you say, in the life of your listener?
Like, if I think about the season in my life when I first discovered Rich Mullins' music, which, you know, discovering his music changed the whole course of my life. Like, it was like a paradigm shifter for me. I was directionless. I knew that I was, like, deeply sinful. I knew that I'd been given a gift for music, but I didn't know where to put it. I didn't know where to aim that gift, you know. And so that opened the door to a room full of songs and music and, you know, great books, great stories, whatever it was, that kind of helped me understand, like, this is what a song can do. And maybe this is what art can do. Like, one of its chief functions is, I think, art reminds us that we're not alone, right? So
right.
If you can write a song, if I can tell you my story, all the warts and frustrations and bruises, but not only that, but all the joy, all the gladness that you feel in the wake of grace. If I can tell that story well, then chances are maybe that God can use this song to recalibrate your compass too, you know? And so, so I think that's what I hope. That's what, every time I sit down to write a song, I imagine the person that it's for. Like art as self-expression is just self-indulgence. It's just kind of a waste of time in my mind. Like, art is only art when it's experienced by another person.
Right.
And I think it's best when that experience, that there's like a commiseration that happens that also leads to joy. Like joy and sadness work together. If you saw the movie Inside Out by Pixar,
yes,
fantastic movie. That resonates because it's true. It's like sadness and joy go hand in hand. Like, this Christianity that says we're supposed to be happy all the time doesn't ring true to me. You know, P.K. Chesterton, great writer that I love, he said one time that he said fairy tales don't teach children that dragons exist. Fairy tales teach children that dragons can be beaten.
Yes.
So when you write a story or you write a song, you go, bring on the darkness. The biggest roar of the dragon is just a little squeak in light of God's great mercy. My hope is that by not being mopey, not kind of, you know, whining or navel gazing, but by being honest about what's going on in my life, that maybe, you know, what I pray is that God would use one of my songs to be a little doorway to get somebody to the other side of that sadness.
Wow. Well, what a treat to hear the heart and hear so much truth in just 26 minutes from Andrew Peterson, the singer-songwriter. His latest release just this week is out. It's called The Burning Edge of Dawn. And one more time, I want to let you know, if you're listening and loving what you're hearing from Andrew, you can sign up to win one of five CD copies at myfaithradio.com. Just look for On the Road, and you can fill the form out right there. And Andrew, sir, if people want to learn more about you, andrewpeterson.com, is that the best place to go, sir?
Andrew-peterson.com. The other one goes to the thriller guy.
andrew-peterson.com, and you can buy the album right there online. What a treat to talk to you, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, man. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.